Chuck's sitting there trying to calculate a hard out that he needs without it seeming impolite.
Yeah, he's done all of it. It's legal.
Hello, welcome to the Mac Show. Yes, you've joined us on a Thursday night here in the UK to discuss everything that's gone on in the Apple universe. And what a week it's been, because there's sod all. But that's a typical Mac Show, in which case we're going to have the best chat you ever heard around the sphere of Apple, no question. Joining me to discuss it, an absolutely incredible panel. I mean, unbelievable panel. Starting us off top left, it's got to be the man that missed us last week. Were you sick or something, dude?
No, I got this. I had a dentist appointment. I couldn't really talk properly, so I had to miss it.
Dude, you're German. You never come across as talking properly to me. So
yeah, but it was worse than it is today. So
okay, fair enough. Are you all right, mate?
I'm totally fine.
Just for every, because really I will get emails that will ask me what dental work did you have done.
It was an orthodontist appointment. I have some kind of appliance now in my upper jaw. So.
If you feel like at any point just going, I'm sorry, that's private, it's okay.
No, that's, I'm open to talking about anything.
Muller wants to know if you had a wisdom tooth put in.
What?
Muller wants to know if you had a wisdom tooth put in.
No, they're all out now.
You can tell Muller's been drinking as well.
Yes.
Yeah.
Next to him, it's Adam with the screen drawn back.
Yeah, I know. You can see the light switch. Cool.
Yeah. No, it is cool. how's life in the closet?
Pretty much the same.
No, studio's no closer yet then.
What?
Studio's no closer. Have you thought about a Patreon or something like that, perhaps?
I've got ideas. Let's just say that.
Yeah.
And that could may or may not be one of them.
Cool. And of course,
it's more about space. It's more about finding the right space than anything else.
Okay.
And so, whether to build or rent or finding the right way to do
why
that.
Why don't you rent an office?
Yeah. Well, it's not cheap here in California.
Well, how much is it per square foot? I mean, I got 6,300 square feet here for £600 a month. So.
No, it'd be more like $2,000 plus a month.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Go and live in New York.
You said 6,300?
Yeah, I got 6,300-ish.
Let me figure that out. Hawaii.
For about $900.
Yeah, that would cost me $23,940.
Wow.
A month.
Are we sure we're talking about the right amount here? I'm talking about a two-bedroom flat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
$23,000 for a two-bedroom flat in Hawaii.
Brother, my 1,000-square-foot condo, if I were to rent it out, I could get $2,800 a month for it.
Jesus.
Wow.
You Americans really bend over.
Yep.
Yep.
Christ. And then you...
I'm not going to argue with you.
And then you get boned on the internet fees on top of that. And yes, the cable TV fees, yeah.
Yep.
Well, and electricity, and I mean, we can go on and on. And business taxes in California, yep.
Sales tax is less than half ours, though. So that helps a little bit.
Yeah. Let's compare healthcare costs.
So we've done California to Hawaii. We'll do Chuck in a moment. Doc, how the devil are you?
Fantastic, except for I just thought about having a big present.
He said choking and then dying live on camera. Yeah. You can give us a bit more volume if you fancy as well, mate. And next to him is Gazmaz. Dude, I haven't seen you on the Mac Show since God knows when.
It is God knows when, and probably the last time you saw me, I was doing a tip for you or something, one of those video tips. I was trying to emulate Don, which was a stupid thing to do.
Yeah, because someone wrote in and said, Jesus, 8 minutes on Finder.
Yeah, but hey, what a tool it is. I'm very well, thank you, and I'm glad to be here.
Of course, you're one of the hosts of the My Mac podcast with Guy Searle.
Absolutely.
Mr. Scratch.
Mr. Scratch, yeah. Yes. It's a total, I said the other night, I was trying to go for an irreverent, and I said it's an irrelevant look at Apple. And I think that's probably quite accurate, to be honest.
Yeah, no, that's fair enough. And last but by no means least, our man in the pen, It is Chuck Joyner. How the devil are you? We haven't seen you in ages either, mate. Where the hell have you been?
I've just been busy. I was in Las Vegas for CES and doing my thing and digging up from a major snowstorm here in the northeast of the U.S., so it's good to be here.
What have you been up to then, apart from that? I mean, is the Roundtable podcast has been going well, surely?
It comes and goes.
Oh, okay. All right, fair enough.
Yeah, you're asking about the background table podcast. It's occasional. Comes out every once in a while.
You say, yeah. Are you more frequent than Greeny?
Oh, yes.
Well, in that case, you're fine.
Me? So, on the background table? No.
More frequently than Greeny equals regular.
Equals more than once in a sentence.
And I did say right at the start, Chuck Joyner is the only person who dresses properly for the show.
It's a distinguished show. I feel that it's only appropriate,
you. And I just want you to know that your sense of gravitas for this network doesn't go unnoticed.
My pleasure.
That's all right, mate, because there's plenty of other people talk far more rubbish about us than that. We've had some reviews.
Oh, yay.
Just get these out of the way before we start. First review is from Dodsey. Thank you, mate, for leaving a review. It's a five-star one. I'm a long-time listener to the UK and UK2 customer through BTN. I only mainly listen from the car travelling between customer sites here in Switzerland. I have to say that this show and the others I listen to on the BTN network, News and Big, are also great, but not too serious at the same time. You and the host manages the guests. And the direction of the show with a humorous touch and an occasional bevy, supported by the guests. My hat off to him for getting a word in edgeways when Kelly's speaking. I love to hear the West Coast accent, but boy, does that girl talk. Keep up the good work. Love the show's Big Mac and listen every day on the witty, entertaining and informative news show with Kyle. That's from Neil Dodd. Thanks, Neil. Very kind, mate.
I should mention Ewan distributes the pills before the show. So
I'll forward that on to Kelly.
Up.
P. That's his name. P. Enjoyable, highly entertaining podcast with the strong opinions from both sides of the discussions. I may not always agree with the point of view, but that's what makes it refreshing. Thank you very much. That's a very honest review. We've had a comment as well on the podcast from a couple of weeks ago from Stephen Huxtable. He says, if you don't actually know the actual Apple numbers for sales figures for iPhones, don't go mouthing off on a rant. It makes you sound more ignorant than usual. I'd like to point out that at no point does the actuality of the truth and statistical accuracy ever bother this network whatsoever. So if we are mates down the pub, and most mates, when they go down the pub to talk shit with their mates, don't carry the stats with them, and we're no different, okay? If you don't get what we're about, don't listen. We are not striving for accuracy here.
Even though there's a German on the podcast, doesn't mean that we are talking about facts.
Yeah, no, I mean, some of you are unimpeachable as far as your accuracy is concerned, but I'm not one of them. And I feel the reason to rant regardless of the facts.
And a lot of times those numbers don't necessarily add providence because, again, the numbers are either reported or rumored. They're normally, the only person that actually knows the number is the bean counters at Apple.
Absolutely. Well said, Doc. And that was from the voice, from the mouth of a fanboy.
Really hate when
Why on earth do you think I say it then?
Hey, listen, I'm about to be 50. I want to accept the term fan man. Damn it.
You're in good company, mate, then. Give us a bit more volume as well if you can, Doc. Right, first story. Allegedly, there's going to be an iPad Air 3, iPhone 5 SE, and not a watch event on March 15th. Discuss.
Yeah.
Is that it? Are we over? We finished discussing that? Okay, great. Moving on. Next story.
I want to just start with no.
No on what?
Well, we're about time, surely.
In general, it's just super, super irritating that everyone loves to speculate what I was going to do, which would be acceptable if they didn't always come off as full-on, I know this is going to go on douchery. And when they are wrong, if they would come back and say, man, I really missed the pooch on that one, then maybe we'd let it go. But the same exact people, Mark Gurman, says every single time what's going to happen. And on the ones that he's right, he brags about these right. On the ones that he's wrong, he never goes, holy God, I missed that one.
That's kind of what I do as well.
Simple. Super simple. Like, if you're going to guess this crap and you have a cousin that works there that's leaking you the information, whatever the case may be, when you get it bad, then come back and say you got it bad, and maybe I'd let it slide. Personally, I just hate people ruining Christmas. I love Christmas. I love to wake up and find something surprising that I didn't know. You know, so having that always knowing what's coming, that instant gratitude, a huge problem in our culture recently. I don't know how it is so much in the UK. Everyone wants to know everything prior to time, even so much so that now the person I expected to do it the least, a girlfriend, will read IMDb to find out what's going to happen in the movie before the movie goes.
Yeah, but I mean, there is a certain value to understanding when an Apple event is coming up because of the fact that you need to clear off the credit card so that you can add a bit more and you know, that kind of stuff. So, you know, I think it's in Apple's best interest to make sure that I can make sure that I've got the funds in my account to buy the next piece of crap that's coming along.
But they tell us, they give us an invitation when they give the invitation, and that's when it should be enough.
Oh, give up. Right, okay. Doc's finished his speech. He's not talking anymore. So
the thing is, I mean, why are we speculating about an iPad Air 3, an Apple, an iPhone? I mean, we know, I would say...
Dude, there's more to talk about if we don't. My name's Ewan Rankin. It's been The Mac Show. Thanks very much for listening. We'll see you next week.
Yeah, but I mean, we can talk about this the whole year. We can, I mean...
No, we can no, because I specifically said March 13th. So let's talk about March 13th.
Yes.
I mean, March. The thing is, as well, you're talking about all the coverage that Apple get from people covering this live, including ourselves. I need to sit and go, right, I've got to push work around so that I don't cover March 15th. Because actually, I've got works booked in for March 16th, 17th, and 18th. And if they picked it on the 16th, we're knackered. We can't do a live show. So I need to now block out March 15th and go, don't book a show. Don't book any work, because, and if you do, make sure it's somewhere you can get back in time. I think it's seriously important. Apple's coverage, if you like, of the news, how much of them are reliant on blogs, people attending stuff live? How can you get a flight to San Francisco at the last minute and expect to do it fairly cheaply if Apple haven't told you when the thing's going on?
You know, I mean,
yeah, exactly.
The journalists know that they're going to be paying $1,000 plus for those tickets.
And they're not paying, their company's paying, so it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
No, it does matter, I think. I'm sorry, but I think, you know, Apple's in a declining market of general wealth across the world. Apple has to say, you know, okay, we're going to hold this event. If you guys want to come, if you want to cover it and give us free publicity, here's when it is.
You know, frankly, a lot of those people would pay to go. Apple could start charging for those events, and people would buy tickets.
I don't disagree with
that. Ewan is right, but... in a different light. He's right, because that is important, but see, Apple is not the one releasing this stuff. It's people in their room reading stuff on Reddit that release this stuff. So, like, if Apple released it, yeah, okay, we're cool. We got nothing to talk about. But when people just make up weird rumors because somebody saw a case floating around, that's just kind of crazy.
That's bad.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think there's slightly more to it than that, but I mean...
Yeah, but everybody's trying to get the hits. I mean, that's the thing.
Right,
if you're the first one to launch the popular rumor, it doesn't even have to be accurate at this stage. As long as it's popular or it's something people want to hear about, then you get the hits.
I think that's a really good sad point, Chuck. Yes. Because actually, you know, I want the first person to get the kudos for the release, but I want it to be accurate. I want to know that I can block that out in my work diary and know that it's actually probably going to happen. And unfortunately, a lot of these, they are actually fairly close, because it's the only time the Moscone don't show that they've got any events on.
Well, the thing about it is I don't necessarily think these guys are just throwing out stuff, at least not all of them. You know, there's certain guys and they are getting information and they're putting it out in there. And like Chuck said, they want to be first. They want to have the thing that's going to interest people to drive numbers. I don't think they're just doing it just to, you know, make stuff up and get hits. I mean, there are some sites that do that, but I think the people that we see get it accurate, you know, every once in a while, 40-50% of the time, are probably have some sort of source. The problem is with how sources are, you know, they could have right information one time and be off another time, but you immediately discount them because they got one wrong. I don't know. You know, and there's obviously people in our community who clamor for this stuff, who are into the stuff, who want it. I would include myself in that group. I'm not so much with you, Doc, of I don't want Christmas spoiled. I kind of want to know what's going on, because guess what? For me too, that's a little bit of my bread and butter. So I got to talk about it as well, because my audience is interested in it and I'm here to serve my audience.
And I think it's also about how it is reported. I mean, I think we all want the right sites to get the hits. I mean, that's how they make money, and we want them to continue. But I mean, they have to treat the information right, and they have to report it in a way that it makes sense, and that it's not just clickbait and then a lot of bullshit really. So
The other thing about a lot of this stuff that people have to remember is Apple always, up until the last minute, can pull something. So they may be fully on track, like the information that might be coming out from a source. They might fully believe, oh, Apple is going to announce an Apple Watch on the 14th. And Apple could decide on the 13th, you know what, we're not doing it for whatever reason. And that's happened. So sometimes you don't even know. Maybe the rumor was accurate up until the 11th hour or whatever.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that wasn't really the story that go on, sorry, who was that?
I was going to say, what's the difference now to the past? I mean, why, you know.
Right.
No, there isn't.
I know it's quiet, so that's why we're talking about it now, but is there any difference to, you know, years ago?
No, never underestimate the ability to fill space, mate. my first point was going to be not necessarily whether there's going to be an event or not, I suppose, but the thing was, we were talking last week about a 4-inch iPhone 4 effectively coming back, and now we're talking about the 5 coming back as an SE version. That makes a ton more sense than the 4 rumor did.
Well,
the 5 is still a valid form, I would say.
Right. But, I mean, wasn't it between the 5 or the 6? For me, the biggest problem I have with that rumor, and I think it probably is accurate, I think the SE name, 5SE name, is stupid. Sorry, I think it should be a 6C, and Apple sticks with the same naming convention in a given series of phones, because internally when you look at a lot of the specs, it's sounding like it's going to have the 5 processor, and there's still debate on that, whether it's going to be an A8 or an A9. Frankly, I think they should also go with the A9, but I can understand a business decision to go with an A8, but externally it's sounding like it's going to look just like a 4-inch version of the 6. And I think from a marketing perspective and from a sales perspective, they'll sell a lot more if people think they're getting something in the same line. And I think internally the specs are good enough that they could justify that.
Yeah, so absolutely.
But I think that 5SE name may likely turn out to be true, but I think it's a mistake.
Yeah, as far as I remember, it's still metal, so I don't think the C would work, because the C stood for color. And well, Apple could do color in the metal iPhones, but I don't see that.
No, the C stood for cretin. As to why you
some people would say cheap.
Cheap, yeah, there we go.
It could be chromium. You could make like a fake chrome nickel plated something.
I don't think we have to read that much into the naming convention. It's really just to define, you know, this model versus that model, right? At the end of the day.
Adam, you said Apple, you wanted to read something into the naming convention because you don't want them to call it something else. So we do and we don't want a reasonable naming convention. We can't have it both ways.
SE's always stood for special edition, normally.
I would frankly be fine if they just went with the iPhone small, medium, large, whatever.
Yep.
I don't
absolutely.
And just called it an iPhone.
Well, you know what's funny is at the end of the day, no matter how much marketing, whatever you do, people will eventually give it the moniker that they want. And I say this because I know some pretty highly esteemed journalists who cannot stop saying iWatch, and I want to choke the out of them every single time. I'm like, you of all people should know better. Can you at least call it correctly?
That's because you're a fanboy.
I mean, that's why I call the iPhone 4 the iPhone Nano.
Wait, at least he does make fun of the fact that he still says it, and he tells us y'all he's trying to stop saying it, but it's just a habit. But you know why that habit exists? Because of the rumor that leaked like 2 years before it actually came out.
Chuck, you look like you've got something to say, mate, but you've been so polite that you're not getting it in edgewise.
No, I think if you make an iPhone 6C, C for compact, and if you want another name, then it's the iPhone Mini.
Yeah, no, that was going back before the 5C, wasn't it? And I got to say, the idea of an iPhone mini, certainly for my kids, would go down an absolute storm. Something that's A8 powered, you know, 3/4 of the size or even half the size that they could stick in a school bag. I think that's a real winner. And I think that's where the five perhaps falls down, because it's just that fraction bit too big.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think that this has the potential. And you know, the great thing is we're all speculating here. You know, we have no knowledge other than the rumors that are out there. But there isn't a single Apple podcast out there for the kids.
There isn't a single Apple podcast out there that doesn't speculate, mate. Let's just...
Well, yeah, there's that.
Let's be honest. Chat room's going for SE stands for small edition. And Horse also says he's Doc dressed as Father Christmas. He's been talking about Christmas a lot, and you look like you dress like Father Christmas. Ergo, you are Father Christmas. What's the yellow logo? What's that? Is that?
You guys wouldn't know this, but in King Kamehameha's court, their royal colors were red and yellow. Unlike
King Kamehameha.
Like King Kamehameha, yeah. So in Hawaii, you'll find many things.
As in the club in Magnum.
Excuse me?
As in the club that was in Magnum. P.I.
The
King Kamehameha Club.
Yes, but he was actually the ruler of Hawaii until these guys called the U.S. government came and kind of stole it from his queen.
So the thing is, dude, you've got to realize that in the U.K., we don't have any historical knowledge of Hawaii other than what we saw on Magnum P.I.
On a Hawaii 5-0.
Yeah, that's what I'm
saying. God, that's hilarious.
Yeah, and I'm serious. It's true. It's not a joke.
Well, I would say I got my UK historical knowledge from Benny Hill, which was kind of true. And then I met you guys,
dude,
and started following.
Hey, that's he's pretty accurate, actually.
The only scenery I have in my head of Hawaii is either from Steve Garrett in Hawaii 5-0 or Magnum PI. That is it. I don't have any visions of Hawaii in my head other than that.
You could follow me on Instagram.
No. Okay, in which case I'd get lots of pictures of food cooking on barbecues and drink.
And there's some occasional...
Go back, dude, seriously now, this is an intervention, right? Go back through your Instagram folder and just look at how much alcohol and roasting meat you post. And I still see all of Hawaii. That's what I'm saying.
Well, at least you know what there is true. Food.
This might be true. Might be true. There's a denial straight away. Jesus.
Just for you, I'm going to go get some scenery pictures.
Chuck's smiling down here, but he's going to be calm. Don't worry, I'm going to bleep those two words out, mate.
your show, Ewan.
Yeah, right. I wish it was my show. Christ. First details of the iPhone 7 come out. It's going to have a flat camera, a flush camera, no antenna band across the back. I don't know if I believe this or whether this is just horse bunkum, because typically you get like the form factor stays for 6, 6S, and then the form factor changes for the next model, doesn't it?
I thought it was going to have a double camera.
Well, they have the double camera. That's what's going to enable the flat camera. So this may be flat cameras only on the 7 Plus, because the rumor, I think we talked about this last week, was that the new Lynx dual camera system would be on the 7 Plus only. And one of the advantages of the Lynx technology is they have much thinner modules, I guess, for the camera sensors. So that would potentially enable Apple to cram them in where they didn't have to have the camera bump.
And the only other difference, at least in the renderings, is that those antenna lines are different. That's it.
Yeah, they're still there, right? I mean,
yeah, it's still there.
It shows them still there on the picture that I got off the rumor. Yeah. So, did they just take a picture of Patricia's phone? Is that an accurate depiction
of what the rumor is, or is that just artist creativity with the story? I mean, is that just how they happened to Photoshop the image? Like, was there a schematic or something released?
No, of course there wasn't.
I missed that.
Was there any real information ever released? No, otherwise no one would do a show whatsoever. And that includes
you. I don't want to backtrack on the show. I don't want to get back to where we just were. Let's move forward.
Absolutely. Totally. Who's due an upgrade at the 7?
Me.
I'll upgrade.
Likely me.
Well, mine's SIM-free, but kind of like I'm looking at it going, well, you know what? It's actually doing pretty well. I don't feel need I'm not feeling like I'm underpowered. They're going to have to bring out features rather than processor power to make me want to upgrade come August, September.
Oh, here's where this conversation could go, because I've been thinking about this a lot and talking about it. And it's been in the news lately too, right? This idea that has the iPhone actually peaked, right? And a lot of people are arguing back and forth, and a lot of people are using it to dispel Apple doom. You know, my perspective on it is this is nothing new. This is normally what happens in a product cycle. And the thing with the iPhone and what you're responding to, you and I think, and a lot of consumers are, is that the iPhone is now such a mature product that it can only go so much further. There's only so many things that you can want your phone to do. And that's why I think this next generation, like the big focus on the new feature is a new camera system. But even a new camera system, it's not that much more advanced than the prior one. So what you're seeing a slowdown in when people are upgrading.
Okay.
So you're going to have people that maybe did every year that are now moving to a 2-year cycle. So it's not like you're just not selling as many iPhones. So the curve is flattening out, but Apple is still making the profits. They're still selling phones. They're still selling record numbers. So, you know, like people are panicking prematurely, but yeah, this is what's going to happen with the iPhone is you're going to see the tail, you get the sharp curve up and then you get the hump and then you get the slow ride down. Yeah. And if you look at iPods and other products, you'll see exactly the same trend.
Let me broaden the discussion then. Let me say, because I don't think necessarily that it maybe is the iPhone maturing as a product to the point that it's leveling off? Or are we seeing actually a bottoming out of the Moore's law, effectively? Because I certainly feel that in the desktops, the desktops are not doing exponentially more that requires the processor bumps that we seem to be getting. And I'm looking at my, you know, if you go back to 2008, after a year of having my MacBook Pro at 17 inches, I was kind of like, Christ, I need the next one. And probably even at the 2011 mark, I was thinking, I really want the next one. But I bought one in 2013, and I'm sitting there going, I bought one in 2014, and I'm sitting there going, do you know what? Actually, it does just fine. It processes video just fine. It does 4K video just fine. I can't, it runs Photoshop just fine. I'm sorry, but I think the Moore's law is no longer a law anymore. It's Moore's syndrome, if you like, to a certain degree. Because I don't think that, and I think this is across all computer devices. It doesn't matter whether you're talking about Android. You know, you hit a certain level of processor, and actually, I think we're at the moment, we haven't got enough ideas to stretch the computers further.
Yeah,
I agree with you. I think the biggest option for the next iPhone is going to be a much improved camera. Not just a slightly improved camera, but they've really got to rake it out with a camera. And if they can do something really special with a camera, that might bump the sales. But to Adam and your point, we're at that point where it's slowing down because of those, what you've just mentioned. I mean, it's we're at the peak.
But that's my point. Is it an iPhone peak or is it a Moore's law peak?
No, I think it's not just an iPhone peak. I agree with you. We're where we are because technology has reached the point, and it's the same for all companies in this market that we've reached the peak for all of them. There's nothing more that can come out from the phones and what they can do at this point in time. So would a much improved camera on the iPhone give it a little bit of an extra boost and longevity over the competitors? I don't know.
Patrice, you've been waiting patiently. Go ahead, mate.
I mean, I think you're both right. I mean, remember back in the day, Johnny Ive said that he had a vision of what the iPhone would look like in the future, and they're trying to get there with the first iPhone and with subsequent versions. I think they are there yet. And yes, I mean, you can upgrade the battery, you can upgrade parts of it, but there is very little in what you can add, what makes sense for the phone. It does what it does, and it does it good.
Yeah.
You know, you and I posted in chat, and I'll say it a lot. You know, honestly, what you just said about the computers and the way that they're kind of outlasting the ideas. Literally 2 months ago, I probably would have argued with you. But then I got my iPad Pro, and I am starting to see this thing, even where normally I would have shot a, you know, it's just a social media style video, promotional video. I would have shot it on my phone and I'd bring it to my computer and then make it cuter than other people because I could open in Premiere or Final Cut and do something epic with it. And with the newest breed of Creative Cloud apps, I'm able to open up Adobe Clip, which is basically Premiere for the iPad, and generate what I used to generate in Final Cut or Premiere for my Instagram or Facebook videos in something that's still in my head. And I'm kind of mind blown by it. And before, for us, and I think I'm in the same boat as you, all of this computer switching was based off of my photography or my video side of business. And now I'm able to do everything I always needed to do without really upgrading. And I used to kind of poo-poo the guys that would have the five-year-old Mac Pro talking about it still works. I'm like, dude, you're losing money and time watching it render. But you're right. The jumps aren't as big. Now, that being said, I buy a new phone every year, more or less, to be the guy that can help everybody else out. I don't know. Right. I don't really see the same value in it as I used to.
But sure. Even most consumers who are on that edge, who don't need to do it, you know, who don't need to buy a new device for the reasons we buy a new device, they're moving to this longer cycle. And it's also why, you know, if you look at everything that we're seeing from Apple, what they might be doing next, it's all moving beyond the screen, right? It's beyond an iPad or an iPhone or an iPod, because really probably the next big thing is going to be something beyond, you know, a handheld device or a screen. It's going to be artificial intelligence. It's going to be, you know, better AI, more voice command kind of stuff, more virtual reality, augmented reality. And this is where all the R&D dollars are going right now. And that's why we're hearing all these rumors, because Apple recognizes, okay, the iPhone's mature, but it's going to take 5-10 years for the decline to go down to a point where they have to have the next thing. And they've already been working on it for years, so they're already ahead of the curve. And it's just, it's the thing that frustrates me when you look at what, you know, Wall Street's and analysts are peeved because they don't know what's coming next. Apple does. Apple already has a vision for that, and they have time. And there's going to be some short-term things that happen that are already happening. I think that's why we're hearing about an iPhone, a 4-inch iPhone, because there is a little market bump they can give to iPhone.
Yes.
It's why we got an iPad Pro.
Sorry, can I just go to Chuck? Because he looks iPad
for a little bit.
Sorry, can I go to Chuck? Because he looks like he has something to say for a while.
No, you and I'm having a little trouble with the connection, so I'm not following what everyone's saying. But I think Adam's pretty much spot on. We all get excited over these predictions of disaster. We all laugh about how Apple's doomed. They have more money than a lot of governments, but they're doomed because they've predicted, you know, a flattening out of the iPhone sales, and that's just crazy. You know, at some point, the iPhone has to do something new to make people want it. And whether that's faster, if you perceive the phone as too slow, then you want a faster phone. If you perceive the camera as not as good as it could be, you'll buy the next one. But if you aren't interested in the phone and aren't having any speed problems, what's your incentive to upgrade until you drop it and break it?
Chuck
is really right. I mean, that's what all those doomsayers don't get. I mean, in a product, there will be a point where sales decline, and that doesn't mean that the company dies. It just means that something else will replace it. And Apple has shown in the past that it can do that. I mean, it happened with the iPod. It happened even with the Mac to a certain degree. Apple is working on the next big thing, and I mean, they have released products like the iPad, like the Apple Watch, and so on, that they think maybe might be the next thing, and so far they aren't. But that doesn't mean that they will stop. They will just continue trying, and eventually hope. I mean, we all hope that they will find whatever is next.
Gaz,
I don't even.
Can we let Gaz? Because Gaz has a comment.
I've got three things there. Adam mentioned the fact that, you know, the iPhone is still selling. They still sell millions of iPods. Okay, statement made. We keep talking about people who say that Apple is doomed. The only people I hear talking about using those phrases are Apple, or so-called Apple fans, talking about it on podcasts. So we talk about the doomsayers. I don't hear doomsayers outside of this environment. So I don't think they really exist. It's kind of just something to say.
Those are
and now I've forgotten that third point that that Patrice that I was going to mention on which Patrice was talking about.
Released notes saying Apple is doomed and you should really sell the stock now and all of that. So there are those people.
Well, that's because Wall Street and analysts, they want to see growth. I mean, you gotta look at from a perspective who is saying what. And Wall Street and analysts, they all want to see growth. The fact of the matter is Apple is going to exist for the next 5 years or so, probably, before the next thing comes out, as a company that makes 50 to 75 million in revenue a quarter. And that's not really growth. It'll grow a little bit, but the problem is they're not going to have the growth like we saw when they launched the iPhone originally and they had this huge uptake. But again, it's because Wall Street wants to see growth, but the company is going to exist fine. They've got over 200 billion in the bank. They're going to make 50 to 75 million a quarter for the foreseeable future. That's a really strong company.
I think you've got to another thing that Moore's Law didn't just give you your exponential of processor growth over requirement. Right. Moore's Law almost gave you a justification to price it that way as well. And Apple's got a very premium price at a device that actually doesn't stretch the bounds of cost potential that far. They're putting processors in which actually are being, you know, if you're saying it's $185 for the manufacturing costs on an iPhone plus R&D, etc., and you're selling it at $900, well, I'm awfully sorry, but if the Moore's Law starts to fall behind on the product that you're generating, and actually people aren't wanting to do what you say it can do, and programmers and developers aren't coming in, you can say that this thing will render 3.5 billion or trillion pixels per second. That's fine, but if everyone's still just producing a fart app, you're screwed. And that's the problem, is the fact that developers aren't interested in stretching the potential anymore of the processor. They're interested in coining a buck through making an application that people will buy and then shelve instantly. You know, the kind of culture of use it and abuse it and disperse it is gone. And going back to Gaz's point about iPads, I said to my wife today, what do you want for your birthday? It's her birthday in a couple of weeks. She said, I want an MP3 player. And I looked at her like, do you know who you're talking to? I can't repeat that to anybody. And she said, no, I've got a phone. I've got my Windows phone. Don't worry. And I know I've got the phone and everything, but you've paid for Apple Music, and actually I can't get that on my Windows phone. So can you buy me an iPod?
And I remember the other thing. Patrice said that Apple, you know, were looking for the next big thing, and they said it's not iPads. Well, big thing. How are we defining big thing? Because they've sold a buttload of iPads.
Yeah. Well, the next big thing is the thing that has a sales curve that looks like an iPhone or an original iPod. So if you go back,
I think the iPhone is a one in a million. I don't think any company can ever hit the iPhone phenomenon. Not in the next 5 years. I just don't see it happening.
Historically, they've done it over and over again.
Yeah, but sales figures aren't what matters. Sales figures are not what matters relative to your market. It's not about how much you sell in the global market. It's about how much sell in the supply chain that you can manage. Well, that's the key fact.
For Wall Street and analysts, it's about how much your company is growing and how quickly.
Yeah.
Isn't this interesting that this conversation has taken kind of two forks? One minute we talk about what the analysts say and the profitability issues. The next minute we're talking about the feature sets and what the customers want. And it's what happened to waiting to see what the product could do for you when it does come out, how it can perform? Instead, we're so fixated on what the analysts think might happen, think what we might do when that comes out. I think that the cart got before the horse here somewhere.
And that's exactly what I said when I said I missed the days of when it was kind of like Christmas. You got something new. We all discovered it at the same time. We unfolded at the same time. We go to the net in the slowest connection and talk about it and be like, hey, did you know if you hold shift option, blah, 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 this happens. And it was fun. Like, we were exploring en masse, and it was really, really cool. And now, the day the phone comes out, there's already a video on YouTube of these are the 50 things that iOS can do, because I've been playing with iOS for like 9 months ahead of time and leaking crap all over the place. I miss those days, honestly, and I might be a curmudgeon here, but I really miss those days when you discovered the product and found the way it worked for you and what was neat about it.
You're dead right.
Hmm.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. And Doc, I think you're absolutely right. And I think that's something that, you know, think about your favorite little product, not your major Mac or iPad or iPhone, but the favorite little thing that you've seen recently or come across. Do you know anything about that company and what its expectations are or Wall Street's expectations of it? No, you're looking at it and say, hey, this is a really cool little thing, this little widget that does this thing for me, and I'm going to tell everybody here on the show about it. Not well, this is what it is, and by the way, their earnings expectations are X, and you know their profit margin is Y. That's where I think it's come off the rails.
Agree. 100% agreed. And, you know, it's funny because we were talking the other day about the Kickstarter things that have come and went and failed and things like that. And, you know, it's always amazing when I get a box in the mail, I'm like, what the frick is this? And I open it, I say, holy crap, there's something I ordered from Kickstarter I totally forgot about. And then I'm jazzed by it, and it's fun. And, you know, you get that. Again, it's a Christmas thing. And I mean, everyone teased me for my Father Christmas shirt. And maybe that's why I'm stuck on it today. But those kind of unexpected moments are what are really, really cool. And, you know, one thing that's great, my favorite part of both shows is the cool things found, because somewhere between Adam and Ewan or, you know, Righty Boy or whatever, I'm probably good for wasting a good 50, 60 bucks a week on stuff that these guys all recommend. And it's always fun, again, because we're all exploring this new thing at the same time based off of one of our compatriots saying this is cool.
There's a fight broker in the chat room. Horse says he wants to come back in 10 minutes and he's gone into a quiet corner to think about what Patrice has said. Robert says, I'm sorry, Patrice, that's nonsense about economists. I speak as an economist. And Patrice has come out, Kenneth E. Balding said that.
Yeah, I put a quote in the chat room. You've probably heard it if you have seen a couple of TED Talks.
But the most important comment is, Horse says, you and I've got a really good second-hand CD player if you want to borrow it. Excellent. That was a good discussion, actually. I thought we were going to have a shit show this week. iPad, and this is for the fanboys, by the way. iPad outsells the Microsoft Surface in its, iPad Pro even, sells the outsells the Microsoft Surface in its launch quarter.
Yes.
There's a surprise.
How do they even know how many iPad Pros were sold?
Apparently, market share is over 60%, and they're talking about 7 million shipments. I'm trying to get the figures right because of the comment earlier on, but I've given up now, bollocks. It's doing well.
This is another one of those areas of, like, stupid numbers that get thrown out all the time that really don't mean anything at all.
Yeah.
But are just kind of fun to, people just like to poke around, right? So it's like, does this really matter to anybody? It's the same thing like happened earlier this week that, you know, everybody was freaking out over the story that Google's market cap was above Apple's for a little bit. Yeah, was it Google's or Microsoft? Microsoft. I can't remember.
No, Google's, you're right.
Yeah.
Google's, CIO. Yeah.
It's like, okay, whatever. But what does that mean and who cares? Right? It's just sort of like, and I even did it on Twitter recently because Microsoft came out with their numbers and I think I did the calculation and Apple's revenue from all of their businesses that are not iPhone for the quarter was higher than Microsoft's revenue for the quarter. Mm. Sorry, it was the revenue and I don't have the numbers in front of me, but you know, and somebody fired back at me and I said, oh, I wasn't really throwing this out there to make any kind of statement because there's no statement to be made here other than, huh, isn't that interesting? Right. And sometimes stuff is just interesting. You know, when you play with numbers, it's just interesting to look at. So I guess maybe that's what's going on here. But everybody tries to make more of it. And to me, that gets a little bit frustrating. So I'm starting to pull back and go, look, OK, here's some interesting numbers. But so what?
No, it's definitely interesting. I mean, Microsoft is considered such a big company, but, well, apparently they aren't anymore.
Well, they are.
Bill Gates taking all the money.
The same thing happens to Apple. The same thing happens to Google. They, you know, again, this gets back to the stupid, you know, Wall Street and analysts and stuff like that. It's like you're overanalyzing these guys. These are all very successful companies doing interesting things, making good products, you know, trying to do stuff. and they just get overanalyzed to death. And you know, I'm guilty of doing it as the next guy again, but it's because, mm-hmm. again, people are somewhat interested in this. So, and it's our yeah. job to entertain them and bring them.
Well, if you want to analyze it, just watch out for the stuff that's going to come out of that new building when they're in it.
No, there was a new video, wasn't there, this week, of the new Sphero building. That's not even close to finished.
But it's got a way to go yet.
I want to know what that ramp up in the middle is. Is that just for deliveries for food or something? Johnny's sushi.
Hey, I want to tie two things together real quick. Adam's last point and something that Chuck said a few minutes ago.
Okay.
You know what's really, really awesome to me is when I find the stories about the teacher who got out on a limb and got this iPad Pro and has found a way to bring out some really amazing creativity in autistic kids using something. She doesn't really know how to program, but she got this app that's kind of like HyperCard, and she starts pressing things around and she found some headway, and these kids are learning from X, right? Or the great stories where people have been able to save their business or adjust their business by using the tech for what the tech is actually worth. And again, mm-hmm. those are the stories where the people don't care about market share, the people don't care about the 7, the S, the plastic, the chrome, the leaked photos, the cases. They don't care about anything, but they are actually changing lives. And in mm-hmm. many, many cases, somewhere between Apple and Google and Microsoft, people are actually using this tech to actually make headways and are changing mm-hmm. lives. And those are the real stories. And unfortunately, yeah. they get squelched by all the pink noise over mm-hmm. stupid crap like data. And then so I think what Adam just last said and what Chuck said a minute ago, those points really finally glue together, because those are the stories that I love. When I run across one of those, I swear to God, I probably read it like 4 or 5 times, because it kind of gives you a little woody.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And I think you're onto something. a few years back at WWDC, Apple had this video about what the iPhone had done for the disabled community. And to this day, it's one of my favorite videos, and I watch it about, I don't know, 5 times a year. It's in my YouTube favorite list, because it's amazing to see what people really do with the tech and how it changes their life. And remember, that is what Apple really is about. It's not about creating a new iPhone or putting some kind of technology. It's about changing people's lives. At least that's
steady on. They're a consumer electronics firm. They're about selling products.
Sure, dude. Sure.
But let's not turn them into the Holy Christ of Jesus.
But to that point, I was thinking exactly what Doc was saying just a minute or so ago, because I saw a demonstration today of the live loops in the new GarageBand on the iPad. Absolutely fantastic. And I sent a link to my daughter with reference to, is it Music Memos, that music app? And she's doing something which has got a degree which has music related. And the wonderful note that came back from her saying how useful that was going to be for her in doing this, exactly to the point that Doc was making about, you know, the usefulness of the apps, which sometimes we kind of wash over now because we're so used to it.
Yeah. Ewan, I think I have to disagree with you just a little bit. If you go to bake a pie, you know, your end goal is to have it taste good, okay? How you get there is another thing. Mm-hmm. And if Apple, let's give Apple credit for, they have certain aspirations for their products, and then they go back and try to create those products to fit the aspirations. I agree with you, they're a consumer electronics company. Of course, they have to be a business, but unlike some that just develop things that they throw at the wall to see what will stick, Apple tends to think, I think, about the finished product a little bit more and what can be done with it, and how it fits in people's lives. I'm sorry, but that's the way I see it. I see that with the iPad, the iPhone, you know, the Mac. I mean, that seems to be a core competency, a core part of Apple's DNA.
Surely that's about creating a more sellable product.
Sure.
Well,
I think the more sellable product is an automatic benefit of being a good person. That came off too strong. That's not exactly right. But you know what I'm saying, right? Like, you're going to automatically, if you're a good business person, say all we're doing is you and a doctor selling hot dogs in a street corner. we would outsell anybody in the street corner, mostly because of our personalities. Because at the end of the day, you and I are good people. If you weren't good people, I wouldn't be sitting here talking with you every Thursday morning, wasting my time.
And I'm not saying they're not good people.
Yeah, so remember, that's what Steve Jobs without said. Any special technology, anything, we're literally slinging hot dogs, mustard, bun. If you say ketchup or hot dog, I'll beat the crap out of you. Anyway, we would outsell anybody else on the street just because you and I are good people. So at the end, sort of what Chuck is saying, it is in their core competency to be somewhat genuine first. When the stock market started getting a little bit too grabby on Apple, they have started making decisions that have to work in that angle. And that's the ugly uncle in them. And I hate that part of them, yeah. Like the gold watch, you know. But at the same token, they probably wouldn't be doing that if we weren't so market crazy, too. So back to our original conversation, if all of this nagging on the internet about the numbers and all of that stuff were to seamlessly disappear, Apple could really go back and 100% focus on their core competency, which is changing the world, and not so much on the money thing, which we do know they have a fiduciary responsibility.
I was just sick of my mouth there for a second. Sorry, Dave.
Why?
I mean, that's what Apple says, what their vision, what their statement is. I mean, it doesn't matter. That's what they tell others or tell themselves what they want to do.
So I'm going back to the economist in the chat room, Robert, who says, oh, please, they're a profit-maximizing multinational corporation. And I agree with him. And there's ways of being a maximizing multinational corporation, and there's other ways of being that thing. And you want to be the good way of being that thing. And I think Apple want to be the good way of being that thing. I'm not saying that they don't, but when it comes down to it, they want to be that thing.
Yeah, I think you've got to stop. Of a company, of a business.
You've got to stop talking about them like they're the frigging Salvation Army and realize they're a multinational, maximizing multinational corporation. There we go. And
no one's doubting but their DNA still says that they always want to do good things. They have no choice but to fiduciarily make the money that they make. They have to. They couldn't just all of a sudden say we made $200 billion and we gave it away because we'd never see iPhone 7.
No, I'm not talking about that. That isn't even close to the conversation that we're having. That is exponentially beyond the Bill Gates philanthropic ideal times 25. What I'm talking about is when they make a product because they believe it's going to sell. They don't believe it's going to change someone's life. If they think it's going to change someone's life for the positive, then it'll sell more. But they don't start out believing that they want to change people's lives.
If they approach it that way, though, I mean, if that's one of the bases, if you sat down and said, okay, we want to do something that changes the world. Now if we are successful, we're going to be hugely profitable.
And there are 40% profit margin, says Robert.
That's what Steve Jobs said. I mean, he said, create good products and the profit will take care of itself.
That's what I said.
I've got to say, we've really screwed up this week, because I don't mind the odd fanboy on the panel, but Jesus Christ, fellas.
Well, here's an example of, I think there's a middle ground here.
Yes.
And I agree with a lot of people on the panel that I think Apple does try to make products that people are going to love and will change their lives. I also agree with the financial side of it. You know, they are in the business of making money. But where you can see an example of, I think, what everybody's referring to, Apple could throw out a VR product right now. They could be rushing to market on a VR headset because Oculus is about to hit. Google and some other, you know, Microsoft's doing stuff with HoloLens. They're not going to do that. And the reason they're not going to do that is because they've been messing with it long enough to know that there's no application for that, really, that is going to help people or change people's lives. Other companies have the philosophy of, let's throw these things out there. We're going to sell a crud ton of them. People are going to think this is what's next. But then they're going to be sitting around not knowing what to do with them.
Yeah.
And that doesn't serve anybody. That doesn't help anybody. And I think the reason Apple's going to take a bit longer and wait a bit longer, and they've done this over and over again, it's why they didn't throw out an MP3 player right at the start of things. It's why they didn't do a smartphone right on day one. They could have, and they could have grabbed market share, and they could have made profit, and that's how certain companies operate. But Apple is a little bit different in that regard, and I think we see hard, concrete examples of that when they don't,
you know, aren't rushing, because everybody on Wall Street wants them to do the next big thing. Well, the next big thing probably is, like I said, augmented reality, virtual reality, artificial intelligence, and maybe the car thing. I think that's also why they're exploring the car thing, but that's further out. I think the next immediate thing is going to be this VR stuff. And I think Apple sees that, but they're not going to rush to market with it. They could, and they would sell units, and they would make money, and Wall Street would probably be happier because they would know, okay, Apple's working on the next big thing. But they're not going to do it.
I mean, just look at all the accessibility things Apple has done. And that's probably just one example.
I think that's huge. I think we've got a few buying listeners to this podcast, and a lot of them will say that the accessibility functions on the iPhone are tremendous.
And if they were only about money, I don't think they would.
I didn't say that. Hang on. Don't twist what I've said into me saying that the Apple's only about money. What I'm said is they're about changing people's lives. I'm sorry. That is not the fundamental goal of any corporation that exists on the planet. And that includes me. Hmm? I'm about making money by taking pictures.
But at the same token, you're about making your customers happy, and so you do much better job of taking pictures than the douchebags that just take pictures, don't care, kind of do half-ass, and they still get paid. In fact, some of them might make more than you.
They drive me mad. I sit and look at the shit that people have posted for other corporations, and I'm like, what the fudge? Why did you get paid for that, you moron? Right. Chatter's jumping in here. I'm sure they launched the iPhone with no idea that we're going to sell over 18 million units, says Magic Man. He also says, but the iPhone has changed my life, certainly mine. And Robert said, my life was really awful until the iPhone came along. Sorry, no one else is laughing but me and Muller. This podcast all of these is brought to you by UK2.net. They're awesome. They're so proud to sponsor this rubbish. I can't believe it. Sarah, who's head of marketing, keeps retweeting all of the posts that we've got on the NQL channel. Not quite live. Superb. I don't think she knows what she's retweeting, though, I have to say. If you'd like to support the British Tech Network, then please, please, please support UK2, because they've looked after us now for 8 years. Unbelievably. They've kept us peddling this rubbish for that length of time. And they are people that we would love to have around the network. If you want to support them, then go through us, because otherwise we don't get the kudos for it. So BritishTechNetwork.com/sponsors. If you want the offer codes, and you can get like 20% off your basket if you just renew stuff. And actually, if you ring up and say, oi, 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 I'm a BTN listener and I get 20% if I use British Tech Domains, then when you ring up and say, oi, give me 20%, they'll give you that 20%. They're really, really awesome. And also, if you want to just sign into your account, go to BritishTechNetwork.com/UK2 and we'll get the kudos for having sent you as well as. Please support them because they support us. They give us the NQL feed as well, and they give us the 100 TB server, the live server that gives us everything that we've got when we broadcast out live to you. And NQL is brilliant because now, since Anders has made the change, you can get the news show. And don't forget the news show. Every single morning, Monday to Friday, you'll get 5 minutes of the tech news that is here to change your life, apparently, from Carl Swagger. He struggles on a Thursday, because it's stuck in traffic most of the time trying to get home to post the show in Manila. But every other day you'll get it on time, first thing in the morning, 9 o'clock, ready for your commute, and he's there. If you'd like to support us directly and pay for Kyle to do that show, because we do pay Kyle every single month to do the news show, then please support us at britishtechnetwork.com/Patreon. Give us $10 a month. $15 a month, $20 a month, whatever you can afford, fantastic. Thank you ever so much to those people that do. And the $10 to $20 range is hugely subscribed. Thank you so much to those people that do it. We would be lost without you. All the money that we get from Patreon goes for paying for Kyle. It goes for the caricatures and those kind of things. And it pays for equipment around the studio as well that we need. And other people's studios when they're short for a microphone or a light or that kind of thing. Right. Chaps, it's time for the cool thing. Do you have a cool thing for us, Patrice?
Yes, I have, and I already posted the link in the chat. My cool thing is a relaxation app. It's called Infinite Relaxation, with a guy from, I think, from Scotland. At least that's what I'm guessing based on the accent. I don't know. That's okay. My guess. It's really, really, I mean, the app itself is relatively simple. You can say what you want to do. Do you want to go to sleep? Do you just want to relax? How long do you want to do that? Or how long do you want the track to be? And then it generates some soothing music, and Andrew Johnson is just talking you through a relaxation meditation routine. And it's, I mean, it has helped me a lot to really relax and go to sleep. So it's not cheap. I mean, relatively $3.99.
Yeah, yeah. But if it does what you want.
Good. Yeah.
So you can vary the amount of time it talks to you.
Yes.
And how loud it talks. And you can also tell it that you want to wake up after he's finished talking to you, or carry on sleeping after he's finished talking to you, yes?
Exactly.
Right.
And that's about it. It's, as I said, it's simple, but it works. And the guy, I mean, the Andrew Johnson is really, really awesome.
And he doesn't ask you to phone through your banking details during the middle of it?
Nothing like that.
Excellent.
You pay $3.99 and that's it.
That's all you get.
Yeah.
Excellent, mate. I like that. Infinite Relaxation by Michael Schneider. Wait, hang on, it's a German. You've been conned, Patrice. I just saw that look on your face. You're like, no, I thought it was this Scottish dude, but no, it's not. It's Michael Schneider.
Yep, it's by, by this.
It's a subversive German money laundering scheme. No, it's not. Okay.
Yeah. I don't know.
He's one of your mates, isn't he?
And no, definitely not. And I mean, there are more than this one app. It's actually a whole set of apps for different things. So I think that's how he's really making money, by differentiating apps, basically.
Rather than sending me to sleep tonight and clearing my bank account out.
Yeah, that would be awesome.
Good pick, mate. Thank you very much. Adam, Mr. Matcast, what have you got for us?
I can't remember if I picked this one in the past, but I'm going to pick this one because it's one of the tools that I've used for years and years and years, and it's something that I've relied on. It is a program called Mail Steward. So everybody who knows me knows I'm big about backup and, you know, backing up my file system and stuff like that. One thing that often people run into is email, especially if you're using Gmail or some, you know, online service where you're getting your mail from the cloud, or it's just archiving email. And so Mail Steward is an application that basically you set it up, you have it run, it will scan through whatever mailboxes you want to have it scan through, and it takes all of your mail, and if you want, it'll even take attachments as binary data and stuff like that, and it throws it all into a MySQL database. So I know people who will, like, have, you know, IMAP email accounts that have, you know, 20, 30, 50, 100 gigabytes of mail in them. I keep mine lean, and I delete old mail because I have Mail Steward go through and archive all that stuff to a MySQL Lite database, and then that database gets backed up through my other backup mechanisms. So it's this program. It's a little bit, you know, kind of tricky to get into, but they have some good tutorials and stuff on their website, and once you start using it, you'll kind of understand the power of it. It also does indexing of all your email when it gets archived. So having it in a SQL database makes it all searchable, makes it easy to go back and find stuff. It has features where you can, if you want to get it back into mail, so if you've deleted something out of mail and you want to get it back in, you can export out back into Apple Mail. And it's just this really cool, good utility. It's not necessarily cheap. I think I have the standard version. They do have a light version if you only need to archive up to, I think, 100,000 messages. But I would say get the standard version. It's about $50 US. And then they do have a pro version if you actually want to store, if you're that level and you want to store all your email into it, like a real full MySQL database, you can go that route. But I just use the mail tier one, and I've been, like I said, using it for years. So what happens is every year I start a new Mail Steward database, and I will go back and delete all my previous year's email, and I kind of start new and fresh each year, so I don't have these massive mailboxes. And it also just protects you, you know, that email you accidentally deleted and maybe it didn't get picked up, or maybe it's older than what was picked up by Time Machine. You now have this other database that you can go back to and get email. And so especially for people who are, like, fanatical about saving every email that they've ever had ever in their lives, this is kind of a good tool for that as well.
So. Okay, good pick, mate. Thank you very much. mailsteward.com.
And I have to jump in after Doc does his pick. I gotta share some stuff with you guys. So okay. Whenever we get to that.
Uh-oh. That sounds ominous. Doc.
Okay. First, my first pick is my vote for the show title, Skeptical Brits v. Credulous Americans.
Okay.
Because that seems to be the cultural difference in our show. And it's kind of funny because... You guys are skeptical of everything, and we are gullible as F, so...
Yeah, that's true.
I guess that kind of explains our weekly emblazoned conversations. Anyway, I love it. I think it's hilarious.
For those who don't believe us, Donald Trump. But go on.
Oh, God.
You see, you even preference the sentence with those who don't believe us. See, again, anyway, back to my pick. My pick is a Loom Cube. I didn't order one when it came out on Kickstarter, but they are readily available now through your standard channels. But I did get to play with a buddy of mine's one, and I'm about to become $80 light in the pocket. What you're looking at is a 1.5-inch like square that can spit out 1,500 lumens.
How much?
1,500 lumens of light.
Wow.
You know what I'm saying? Wow. Like, that's just kind of insane, right? Okay, I think you guys are looking at 3 centimeters, 38.1 millimeters. That's about right. Yeah. Anyway, I just had to convert it for you. But you can connect, like, 5 of them together in some kind of gang rush thing. And the app on the phone allows you to adjust everything from your brightness. Like, you can control red eye. Like, you can use it in flash mode. You can use it in light mode. But it's the tiniest little bugger that can stop you from taking crappy pictures or even...
Okay. So let's talk batteries.
Huh?
Let's talk batteries.
The battery life on this thing is supposedly ridiculous. Like, I haven't had a chance to play with it, but from what I understand, it will run solid on for about 3 to 4 hours.
Okay.
That's solid on. That's not even using it in flash mode or using it when you need to, you know, use the camera. Like, your iPhone will run out of... battery. I mean, we'll run out of video space before it runs out of battery.
Cool.
So yeah, it's pretty cool. And when it came out on Kickstarter, like, I wanted to do it, but they raised about, I think, $230,000, and I was like, yeah, but it's going to be one of these things where so many people backed it, by the time you get it, it'll be too late. And so I didn't jump on it, but I said I'll wait for it to come out. So it's going to cost me about $20 more than I would have normally, because they're about $80 total. But I think they're cool, and they actually have a little bridge where you can put two together and then a 1/4-20 thread, so you can stick your other thing in the middle. I mean, your camera in the middle.
Okay.
And you can kind of create a nice balance. I mean, it's, to me, I just find it incredible. So come on.
You're talking $79 for one, $149 for two, and $300 effectively for three.
Correct. But, you know, there's four, those cases where you're going to put a camera somewhere to get an extra shot while you do your regular shot or something. Or you might have your standard, you know, camera in the back shooting the wide video while you're doing the closeies, whatever. I think it can come in handy in so many ways.
So are these things connected by kind of a 3/8 inch or 1/4 inch connection, or are they?
No, it's aptly connected.
So it's just Bluetooth?
Yeah.
Right.
Is either Bluetooth LE or something of that nature.
So is there any mountings on them as well? So you can put them on
a tripod. Yeah, there's a 1/4-20 thread.
Yeah, awesome. Right. Okay. Right. Cool. Excellent, mate.
They have all kind of mounting brackets and stuff like that. So here's the deal.
Did you get one?
I know both these guys, Mornay and Matt, two founders of the company. Or I don't know if they're co-founders.
Send us some free ones then.
Yes,
relationship is. They're both from Nick, so I work with them at Nick Software. And after Nick, this is one of the projects that they went on to do. And I went out to their launch party. They're kind of really connected in the action sports area. A lot of action sports people are excited about this. They've got all kinds of GoPro mounts and that sort of stuff to go along with this thing. So, but they're good guys, and I think, you know, they're really trying with this product, and it looks amazing. And so when Doc, you picked it, I thought that was great. So yeah, well, they've just sort of become available in the last 6 to 8 months, maybe.
If they've got any need of a pro photographer in the UK who'd like to try them as sight lights during interviews, then tell them send a couple through.
Yeah,
I'm serious.
Or just some drunk guy.
Anyway, I mean, but they're good guys, and they have a provenance in the industry. You know, Mornay's been involved in developing products, and Matt is, you know, and they're both photographers and surfers, and good guys. So
what's really crazy is it has an optical sensor somewhere that kind of helps it figure out what is the right amount of light to spit out. That part is mind-blowing on a $70, $80 little 1.5-inch 38mm tube. That's mind-blowing.
Yeah, and the product's been in development for a while, so I know they've worked really hard at trying to get it right. And I'm sure they would be welcome to feedback, too.
Excellent. No, so tell them send me through, Throat. I would be quite happy to use them on site and give them a commercial review. No question.
Gangster.
Excellent. Gaz, you've got a pick for us that I've never seen this before in my life. Come on, Gaz.
Did we lose him?
Yeah, you're on mute, dude. So.
Which one do you want?
Oh, which one? Is it two? Because all I've
yes,
got...
there's two. And the second one is the one that I said it is a repeat because it's a repeat of the one that I did on the big show. But I don't know whether you want me to
do it. Go on, because it's. He wants number two. I bought one immediately after you said it.
Okay. For my iPhone, Mac, iPhone. Yeah, that'll do. It basically, it's called the Yopo. It's a camera lens kit. It comes with a tripod. It comes with a case, which obviously you use to fit the lenses to. There are three or four lenses because one of them has a wide angle, which has got a combination macro on it. It's got a zoom lens. It's got a frame for fitting onto the standard brackets that you use for, or the tripods that you use for cameras. It's £30 in the UK. And the piece of equipment, I mean, it's worth it just to put it on the side, actually, because the quality of this this product, I think, is pretty good. And I think you were quite impressed with it as well when you got yours, weren't you, Ewan?
I ordered it the night that you said, Ewan, you want to try this. And I have to say, I was dead impressed.
Really?
Yeah, no. And I stuck it.
The glass has, at that price, the glass can't be good, can it?
It's all right, actually. I ordered
it's not bad.
I ordered it on the Thursday night. It turned up on the Saturday morning. It's all right. I'm desperate to try and show you a picture here. I'm trying to spin out time because I'm going to have to email it off my phone.
Okay, well, if you do that, I mean, my first pick, actually, that I was going to do a cool thing, as it's the Six Nations coming up, I went for the official RBS Six Nations free iPad iPhone iOS basically application, which tells you it's a good accompany app to the series which goes on. I know it's pretty European based because of the rugby union, but it is watched all around the world, and it's now apparently iWatch compatible as well. So go and have a look. I'll put the link. I'll put that link in the show notes into the chat room as well.
What?
did you what? Miss him say iWatch?
Yeah, he's
sorry. Did I? Good, yes. hang a minute. I watch. Drink.
There you go.
Is that a drinking game? We didn't
have to order that because, I mean, it doesn't count that you already ordered it. It's on Amazon. It's free. You have to order it again.
Sorry, did you say drink again?
No, drink again. Yeah, go on, guys. Go on.
That's more.
In my head I said Apple Watch.
There's a shed load of you out there sitting thinking, how on earth do these people get paid for it? The simple answer is we don't.
It's true. Ewan's never sent me a check for this show.
No, I'm proud that I've never sent a check to him for this show because that would be criminal. If anyone ever gave us a penny. No, that's not good, is it? Because I'm trying to get the picture. I've sent it to myself, but lo and behold, it hasn't turned up.
Hey, we got to raise money so I can send Adam a Hawaiian quilt to put behind his head instead of the black utility blanket. It'll be red and yellow. He can command me a quilt.
Well, I was really inspired. I'd just do the whole green screen thing, and then I could have whatever I want.
Bring it up at the last. Go on to your next pick, then.
I will. Let's do Chuck's pick. Chuck, what have you got for us, Cole?
Ewan, this is a speaker, Bluetooth speaker that I saw at CES, and you have to understand, in that environment, it's really tough to tell what it truly sounds like. Exactly. It certainly sounded good in that environment. It's called the Mars speaker. It's from Crazy Baby, and I'll throw a link in the chat room. But its claim to fame is that the top of the speaker can be taken off and carried with you, taken away and used as a portable speaker. But when you bring it back and set it on the woofer, after a few seconds of playing, it levitates.
What?
It levitates up about 2.5 inches and stays there. It just takes off, hangs there for as long as the music's playing. If the battery in the levitating part goes dead, it will come back down and land and charge automatically and then take off again. It's absolutely cool. You know, the theory is that...
That is cool.
But the theory is by taking the tweeter away from the woofer, you get some less vibrations and it makes the sound a little more pure. I don't know if that's the case, but it is absolutely cool. You got to go and watch the video of this because I'm telling you, it works exactly as advertised. And you, when the top part is flying, you can actually tap it and jiggle it a little bit, and the magnetic field holds it in place. But you can spin it around and do all kind of things with it. So if nothing else, would be an amazing conversation piece. And perhaps the best part of all, it actually is shipping. You can order it on Amazon now. So it's not one of these things that, oh, it looks cool, but you'll never see it. So it's crazybaby.com, and it's called the Mars speaker. Comes in multiple colors, and it's just had to be the coolest speaker I saw at CES.
Okay, cool.
Wow. This I got to try. And Chuck, you are absolutely right. My family used to own a high-end AV store, and the reason why the Bowers & Wilkins B&W is the best thing to ever come out of the UK, they're built with a tweeter outside floating because it takes away the vibration, which kills half of. So they're actually correct.
Brilliant. Crazy.
The black ones are out of stock validation right now, though. You can only get silver.
Crazybaby.com if you want to know what it is. If you want to know what I did with Gaz, this is a bit of overkill. This is a £1,000 video tripod with video head with a magic arm holding my iPhone in a clamp in a... There's a 1/4-inch to 3/8-inch converter in that as well. You're probably looking at the best part of $2,000 when you add in the iPhone, and I've got a shitty £29 lens on the front, pointing at the bird table. But I've got to say, actually, the pictures out of it. I'm not going to suggest it's the best glass you've ever seen in the world.
No.
But it's not shit. There you go.
But for that price, I mean, if you can get telephoto for that price.
Oh, it's like 12. Great. It's like 1,200 times optical.
That's amazing.
It is. I mean, the macro bit is superb, and the wide-angle bit is excellent as well if you screw it on the front. It comes with a 6 and a 6 plus adapter case that you have to use, which is not a problem. Those two things also carry a connector for 3/8. It comes with a stand. It comes with a connector that runs to a 1/4-inch photographic thread as well as. There's absolutely... So that thing that you're seeing there is my iPhone 6 Plus in the bracket, mounted on the connector ring, on the 1/4-inch ring, linked to a magic arm, linked to a £1,000 video tripod. And the picture that it took was okay. The one thing I will say is, this is the one thing that actually made me realize why I bought my Apple Watch, because you can't trigger it at 1,200 times zoom manually, because as soon as you touch it, it's like blah, 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 blah. Yeah. That's it. And if you open up the watch and you're like, chunk, take the picture, it's like, perfect. It's absolutely perfect. Because there's no shutter moving, it is absolutely stable. And actually, the quality's not that bad. It's my review is it's not shit.
That's a good show. For product reviews, the name of the show is just, it's not shit.
Sorry, but it's not. It's okay. It's all right. My cool thing, and this is gonna sound really crass, but actually, so I've been using Sparrow for a long, long time, and I love Sparrow, absolutely adore it. And then when I bought my Mac Pro, and I tried to install Sparrow, it was like, hang on, Google owns it now, and they've shut it down, and you can't have Sparrow anymore. Sod off. So I had to take the Sparrow install document that I had, and I had to move it across over from my laptop, and then I installed Sparrow, and then I've used Sparrow. But I've had a lot of insecure mail clients come back. So the people won't accept my email because apparently Sparrow is an insecure client and it wouldn't accept it. So I've had to go back to using Mail App for the last couple of days. And it's not shit. No, seriously, I've used Mail for the last 2 days now. And it's okay. I'm still not the best email client I've ever used in my entire life. This is going to really piss people off. I'm going to get emails about this, let alone all the crap that's gone on beforehand. I've got to say that one of the best email clients I've ever used has been Outlook over the years. And I'm going back 15 years. I loved using Outlook 15 years ago. But actually, you know, Mail App's not... I stopped using Mail App because I thought it was shit, and it's not shit anymore. It's all right.
Have you tried the new Outlook?
No, I haven't. 365? No.
I've heard good things. I've never used it. I don't know. I used Outlook way back in the 90s, probably was the last time I used it.
Right.
I'm using it at work, and it's not shit.
You know, I always loved Outlook just because of the way it works, and I think everyone has that problem when they first moved over. When I was working at the Apple Store, one of the biggest complaints for people coming from the PC world was there's nothing like Outlook. And Outlook is great until you realize it stores everything in a single database, and I still don't think they fixed that. And then you can get a jacked up note or a jacked up email, and it screws up your entire life. That's the only reason why I hate Outlook, but I love the interface. And I wish somebody would Sherlock them, or I wish they would separate each database into its own separate thing. One of the two of those, and I'd be Outlook 24/7, 365.
Yeah, I can tell you there's one thing that annoys me all the time with Outlook. It doesn't save your drafts. So if you're writing it and it crashes for some reason, and it did today, then you lose whatever you've written. And that's really annoying. And we all know that there are better options. I mean, you can auto-save and all of that. Doesn't do it.
But yeah, welcome to Mail, Ewan, because I've been using it since the beginning, and I like it. I never had a problem with it.
No, I didn't like Mail, I have to say. I didn't like the way it arranged emails, especially chains of emails. But actually, it does a far better job now than it used to. And I sent some emails through over today to Len Peralta. And I put in like 35 megabytes of images, and it allowed me to select smaller images to send to him, which was fine. And it took me below 2 meg or something like that. And the resizing of images that you drag and drop in was really, really cool. I thought it was
Even if you do now, it has that new mail feature too, where it'll if you have too much in terms of attachment size for your ISP, it just throws it up into iCloud, and then on the other side, if they're using Mail, they automatically get pulled down from iCloud. Yeah. So,
Robert in the chat room is not shit. The Ewan's highest praise, pretty much.
Yeah. Yeah.
Where can we get a hold of you, Patrice?
As always, every week on the Mac Show here on BTN, on Twitter at casual_kitchen, and all the links and whatever I do on thepatrice.com.
Unless you're having your teeth fixed.
Yeah, exactly.
Adam, where are you, mate?
You can find me over at the MacCast, maccast.com. Just search for MacCast on iTunes and MacCast on Twitter. And then also on the iOS show with Michael Johnston and Jeff Gamet at theiosshow.com.
Excellent, mate. Doc, where are you, sir?
Currently searching on Hover to find out itsnotshit.com is for sale, but it's not open.
No.
Well, and I think it's not shite, right?
Oh, yeah, it's not shite. You can probably get that. Yeah.
The E goes after the I, right? I before E, except after shite.
Shite.
Yeah, it's available. $12.
I think Shayette is Jewish.
Oh my God! Anyway, British Set Network.
You could be the Sammy Davis Jr. of Hawaii.
Never mind. I'm on the internet. You can find me.
How is your soft shoe these days, mate?
Mr. Bojangles.
Love you, dude. Have you sent me stuff through?
You will find out very soon, won't you?
Oh, that means it's gone. I love you. I'll stop taking the piss now.
Adam, I'm just fixing your logo. That's all. It's correct, but it has to be black and white. So I have to take out all of the white and turn it to transparent.
Gotcha. I could have done that for you. You did let me know.
Oh, well, I'm the illustrator guy around here.
I don't think it sounded like it was hard. Gaz, Mr. Mac, who's never done the Mac show and has put a tie on. Dude, that's noticed. That tie has been noticed. I just want you to... There we go. Look at that. Look at that. What federation is that? Bedfordshire or is that...
No, East Mids Rugby Union Referee Society. There you go. There's a short acronym for you. EMRURS.
How does that fit in with Notts Links and Derby?
They're north of us.
So it doesn't tie in at all. I used to be on the Notts Links and Derby Federation panel.
Did you? Yeah. Oh, well, yeah. Yeah, well, nothing to do
before
with
you had to be qualified to be a referee.
Yeah, right. You can find me over at gazman.com and I do the
Mike Mac podcast
with Guy Searle.
You've had that soundboard queued up all for the last 2 hours, haven't you?
No, I've used it loads of times before. It's just that I was on mute.
Give my love to Gaz and tell him if he's got a white ball in front of him, just shove it straight in the pocket, save the time. And Chuck, where the hell are you, dude?
You can find everything I do at macvoices.com and on Twitter, I'm Chuck Joyner. That's where you'll usually find me hanging out on social networks. Good to be here. Thanks, Ian.
There you are. Thanks for having you on, mate. I'm sorry that you've been exposed to this kind of rubbish.
Oh, it's been... I told you we started free entertainment.
Yeah, you come in eyes open, dude. Yeah. My name's Ewan Rankin. Get me at Ewan Rankin on Twitter. We've got the big show coming up in 15 minutes, and we'll get going. It'd be great. We're every Thursday. So if you want to know about the chat, then all you got to go is britishtechnetwork.com/chat and look up on the 4th of February and you'll see all the links of all the stories and all of the stuff that we've put in, all the cool things, that kind of stuff. If you want to sponsor us, go to britishtechnetwork.com/Patreon and it'll take you straight to our Patreon page. We'll see you again next week. Thanks for listening.